us on this morning, and also to the praise team. I felt the Spirit of God in the praise and the worship in this house on this morning. I also want to acknowledge Pastor Jamie Grizzy. Thank you for allowing me this space in your house, which is also the house of God. I want to acknowledge my husband, Apostle Kirk Moore of Restoring Life Ministries. A wonderful man of God, powerful man of God, who I've been had the pleasure of being married to now 22 years. And it has been indeed a pleasure. Thank you for always supporting me. To all my church members who are here, and my sister Kendra back there, and my friend, Sister Nancy, for coming and supporting us, and my friend that's with Sister Nancy. Thank you all for coming and being in support. I do have a word for you today. Hallelujah. God is amazing, and he is present in this house. And Pastor Donetta was right to say that he deserves the glory, he deserves honor, and he deserves praise. It doesn't matter that we sang some songs. He deserves more than just a song. It has to come out of our spirit. Hallelujah. Just one more deep hallelujah for him. Glory. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. While you're standing, if you get your Bibles, we like to stand, if you don't mind, for the reading of the Word of God. It is the only thing that is infallible. It is the incorruptible seed. And when everything else has passed away, the Word of God will still be standing. If you turn in your Bibles to Genesis. Yes. Everybody who knows me when I preach, most times, there is a passage in Genesis that will be read. It is the book of beginnings, and it's where God wants us to get back to, in that place where he called us to dominate on the earth, where he made us in his image and in his likeness. So if you turn to Genesis 1, we're going to read Genesis 1 and 1, and then we're going to flip over to the New Testament and read John's account of the beginning, and then one more scripture, Matthew 5 and 14. So I will read in your hearing. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." If you turn with me to John 1 and 4, just flip on over to the New Testament. When you have it, say, "I have it." Oh, it's on the wall. Oh, everybody has it. Okay. Thank you. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Tell your neighbor, the darkness has not overcome it. All right, if you just turn back a few pages to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. We're going to read verses 14. 15 and 16. All right, I'm going to read from the board, because I only have verse 14, but I want to read the other two. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Today I want to speak to you from the title, "Turn the Lights On." We're in need of sun exposure. Before you take your seats, just say that to your neighbor. Turn the lights on. We're in need of sun exposure. Amen. You can have your seats in the presence of the Almighty God. So if you go back to the account in Genesis, it tells us that there was a chaotic situation that was going on. God had created the heavens and the earth, and it says then they were without form. They were void. They were in a place of chaos. It was a lot of confusion going on in this place that God created called earth. And God's solution, the first thing that he put in place when he looked on the earth and saw the chaotic state was what? Light. He spoke into that chaos and into that confusion and into the turmoil and said, "Let there be light." Hallelujah. And I am here today to tell you, it's not the light that we see, the sun and the moon, because those were created on the fourth day of creation. That light was him. It was illumination and it was revelation. He said, "Let there be illumination so that this chaos can go somewhere else, so it can skedaddle, so it can get out of the way. Let there be revelation," or in other words, let me step into this scene, because God is not the author of confusion, but he's the giver of peace. He said, "Let me step in to this mess that's been caused because of, we know how the earth got that way because of the fall." He said, "Let me step in and do something great on the earth. Let there be light." And we know that whatever he speaks comes to pass. Whatever he says, there is an instant reaction. So God called light into the earth, and light became, here it is. There was no hesitation. There was no, wait a minute, light didn't say, "Wait a minute, I don't know if I want to show up." God said, "Let there be," and light showed up. There was instant illumination. There was instant revelation. And you know, we see, we walk in dark places sometimes. We walk in places that are that we can't see, and you turn the light on so that you can see how to fix the situation that is in hand, or so you can see how to repair what's there, or maybe just so you can walk clearly. Light is essential to the human experience on earth. In other words, God is essential to our human experience on earth. But what happened along the way is there was a deceiver that came on the scene. He was already there, which is why the earth was in a confused and chaotic state, because he had already fought. He had already been cast out. We like to say he fell. No, he was cast out of heaven. So he was already there causing chaos. But God said, "Hey, I have a man that I want to put on earth." That's the account of Genesis. He made us in his image and in his likeness. And he said, "Now you have the authority that I have. You be light now on the earth." What happened is man lost that authority. He gave it over to the enemy, so the lights were back off. The sun was here to continue to light the earth, but there was a disconnect between man and God. Lights off. It reminds me actually of that commercial. Some of you young people may not remember, but in the 80s, there was a device called the clapper that you would have to plug into an electrical outlet, and then you could plug in your appliance, your lamps, or your TV, or whatever, and you would. The commercial said, "Lights on," and then you clap, "Lights off," "Lights on," "Lights off," the clapper. This reminds me of that situation, because the light, God turned the light on, then man turned the light off. So now we find ourselves in a place where the lights were off. And so the John 1 account tells you about what God did. There was another light that he sent to the earth, because he needed the light to be back on. So John's account tells you that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was there with God, and the Word was God. And in him, he came to earth in physical form, and in him was what? The light of life. He was the light. So the lights came back on. Jesus walked this earth. He showed us how to live, how to do, how he was our great example. He showed us now. He illuminated what? The Word. He said, "I came to not to get rid of the law, but to fulfill the law. I'm going to show you how to get back in right standing with God, and I'm going to pay the ultimate sacrifice to get you back in that place." So he became our light. And then as he was doing his Sermon on the Mount, that's our scripture in Matthew, he said something. Because man forgets. We like to sit back and allow God to just be God. And we have to let him. He is God. But God has made an earth or a domain for us to reign in. That's this place that we're in. The earth is not, God dwells in heaven and he rules all of heaven. That's where he rules. He's in total control there. He put us on earth so that we could have a place to be like him. He made this as our domain. So he said, man, this is where you're supposed to have authority. You're supposed to rule over. In Genesis, what did he tell us? It's the beasts of the sea, the fowl of the air. This is where you have your domain. The only thing you don't rule over is another man, because I'm the ultimate ruler. We all look up, but all of the animals, all of the things that happen on the earth are under our domain when the light is on. Yeah, let's say that, when the light is on. So Jesus was here teaching and trying to show man, you're the light of the world. He didn't say, I am the light of the world. When he was teaching his sermon on the mount and all the people were gathered to him, he said, you are the light of the world. You are here to illuminate the darkness now. You are here to bring revelation. You are here to show forth the Father, which is in heaven. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, Philip asked him, show us the Father. We want to see the Father. And Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, that light from the beginning, that light that shone brightly, he's in me. I and the Father are one. You've seen the light. And now Jesus tells us, as God told us in the beginning, when he said, all authority now, I've given you dominion. I've given you this power. He said, now Jesus is telling us the same thing. All authority. When he rose from the grave, he handed us the authority. He doesn't need it. Why? Because he's sitting on the right hand of God making intercession for us. He's praying for us constantly. He's not down here doing the work. Why? Because he empowered us to do it. He made us the light. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that sits on a hill that cannot be hidden. You can't be hidden. So it behooves us to do the right thing. Because a city that sits, we're the light. So we ought to be doing things, works of light and not works of darkness, because we can't be hidden. We're a city that sits on a hill that can't be hidden. He said, now what good is it to have a light if you're going to hide it? What good is it to be the light if you're not going to shine? He said, we have to do and operate in the authority and shine the light of glory in this place. Hallelujah. We've been called to be the light. I was looking at the moon last night. It was a full moon. It looked full to me. Beautiful moon. And I was thinking, you know, I work for a program at the NASA IV&V, and they're all about space and the things that have happened in space and how to understand everything that happened, when I already understand it, because in the beginning, God created. I already know that. So, but it's like, go ahead and study it out. Spend those millions and billions of dollars to figure all the intricate details of it. But I can just tell you real quickly, God did that. I could save the nation billions of dollars. God did that. Way back when. But I was looking at the moon, and so science tells us that the moon, you think that the moon is glowing on its own, but the moon is only reflecting the light of the sun. So even though it's dark where we're at, the sun is still shining. The sun never goes off. The sun is always shining brightly. The moon, in fact, only reflects 12 to 15% of the sunlight. Hallelujah. It is our example of how we are as the light of the earth. We will never be the major. The sun, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N, will always be the great light, the mighty light, because he was our example. He is Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. So he will always be the bright light or the sun. Never, you know, we are also sons of God, but we're not the son of God. But what we're here to do on earth is reflect his light. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, the earth, the moon only, you can see the moon sometimes in the daylight, but not usually. The moon reflects and the moon shines and it gets its glory in the dark place. So we're always asking God to get us out of the dark place. I don't want to be in the dark place. God, I'm tired of the dark. I can't see my way. I don't know what. Guess what? You are supposed to shine in that dark place. You're the light in darkness. Stop settling and sitting down and trying to get out of what God put you in, because he put you there so that you could shine. Glory to God. He put you there so that you could light the way for somebody else. How many times have you been through something and somebody else is going through the same thing and you say, guess what? I came through that and I came through flying. I came through running. Why? Because God did this for me. Because of the prayers of the righteous. Because of what Jesus did in my life. We have to shine in the dark place. Stop praying for God to get us out of places that he placed us in. What we have to do is turn the lights on. It's time for us to turn the light on. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we say, you know, I've heard a lot of people saying that this is the darkest time in American history. And we're in a dark place right now. And this is, guess what? It's chaotic, chaos going on in the world. It's never been. Guess what? That's where God likes to step in. I told you that the answer to chaos and confusion is light. That's when God started speaking light. The earth, when Jesus came, was in a chaotic state. It was not a peaceful time. There had been darkness for 400 years without the Spirit of God moving and shaking the earth. It had been a dark time. But Jesus then stepped on the scene. The light shone in darkness. Hallelujah. So it may be a dark time in America. It may be a dark time in our lives. But guess what? It's time for us to shine as never before. It's time for us to turn the light on. Hallelujah. And let Christ be seen through us and in us. Glory to God. It's time for the light to be turned on. Glory to God. And you know, we always are waiting for somebody else. God said, no, it's us. It's your job. You are the light of the world. Don't wait for sister so-and-so over there. Don't wait for brother so-and-so. It's not just the job of the pastor, but it is all of our jobs to be the light of the world, to shine forth the glory of God. And that's the thing. The glory of God was so bright. You know, when Moses went up and was in spent that 40 days and spent the time with God, he came down and he was shining so bright. We don't want to be like the Israelites who were like, go cover your face. We can't bear to look at you. We don't want to see you. You know, and sometimes we're like that. Oh, that she's a deeper wanderer. She said she was praying. No, let people spend time with God. And when you come out of his presence, you will be glowing. Hallelujah. Stop talking about the people who pray all night. Stop talking about the people who praise God all day. They're just trying to get their light a little bit brighter. Hallelujah. It's time to turn the lights on. You know, I was also thinking, God told us in Ephesians that there was a work that he had for us to do from the beginning. But we don't always like the work that he's assigned to us. We like to pity pat sometimes. We like to be crybabies, and we like to dwell in our pain and our turmoil, our confusion. We like those places sometimes, but today the message is grow up. Plain and simple, grow up. It's time to light the earth. The world is in such chaos because we're not shining as brightly as we should. They're looking at the church and they're not seeing the glorious light. They're not seeing the glory of God. Because we're chilling in the corner. God, can you get me out of this? God, can you take me out of this? Stay in the dark and shine. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor it's time for sun exposure. So, you know, when the world tells us now, and the sun has so many benefits. And I think about my dad grew up in a farm in Arkansas, and they were outside, he said, from sun up to sundown, working their fields and raising their animals and things like that. And now the science tells us that we can't get that much sun. We don't need that much sun. Sun's going to give us cancer. And I'm not saying that it doesn't, but sun gives us cancer, and it causes ocular degeneration, or it weakens our eyes. And so now we're to cover up and wear hats and wear sunscreen. And I'm not saying not to do what your medical professional has told you to do, but I'm saying in the church, we've taken on that same philosophy. So we've been screening ourselves from the sun because somebody told us too much sun was damaging to us. Somebody told us that if we prayed in school, that would be wrong. And so now we've started screening the sun, and we've taken prayer out of schools. We are not allowed to talk about God in our workplaces anymore. We've taken all the things of God. We can't address, and we can't pray in the name of Jesus now in public events, because the too much sun causes damage. Somebody said that, and the church believed it. And so we're not fighting these causes. All these things are happening, and we're not fighting. We're sitting back, letting them happen, because we're just as guilty for screening the sun. We're covering up instead of living the lives and shining brightly and being bold for Christ. We're covering up. Do you know, we're like Peter. I walked with him for 3.5 years. Peter was one of the boldest ones. Do you know Jesus? I don't know the man. When it gets hot, we're wearing covers. We're wearing sunglasses. We don't want our eyes to get weak, but what's happening is we're losing our vision. We're taking on our own vision instead of taking his vision. The Bible says without a vision, the people perish, and they cast off restraints. And we see that, or that's another word, is that perish means they cast off restraints. And we see that all the time. You see it in the world, but you also see it in the church house, where people don't tell me anything. I don't want to be in any type of control. I don't want to fall into any type of category. You can't tell me to do this. You can't tell me to do that. We all want to be our own leaders, and not settle ourselves under the authority that God has set. Amen? It might not be happening here, but it happens in places outside of here, in the church. Hallelujah. We want to do our own thing. That's when we don't have his vision, but we have our own vision. Because it's too much sun over there. Too much sun. So we have to put these glass. We have to shield ourselves. And now we can't see clearly what he has called us to do and what he has told us to do. And you see it so clear in the church world, in the world, and in the church world. Tell somebody it's time to turn the lights on. Hallelujah. We have to stop screening ourselves from the sun, because one of the great benefits of sunlight is vitamin D. And they say a lot of West Virginians, I went to the doctor a little while ago, and they said, you have a vitamin. I was like, I'm so tired. I don't know why I'm so tired. They said, you have a vitamin D deficiency. And they're like, where do you work? In an office? Yeah. I don't have a window seat, so I don't get the sun all the time. And you're there all these hours, and then you go home, and then you're in your house doing housework, and you're in your places. And so they say that most West Virginians have a vitamin D deficiency. Hallelujah. Vitamin D is what gives you that energy to keep moving. Hallelujah. In other words, it's that sunlight energizes you to do the work that you need to do. So I don't care what they say about us West Virginians in the natural, in the spiritual, we're going to unscreen ourselves from the sun, and we're going to take in all the sun that we can get, because he is the one that gives us the energy to do the work that he has called us to. We have to shake off the sunscreen. We can't follow the principles of the world. We do that too much. You know, you read your Bible, but somebody else says, but what about this? Does it line up to the scripture? If it doesn't line up to the scripture, it has to go to the wayside. It has to move. It has to go on. Because the truth of the matter is that we Christians, we human beings are attracted to light. It's a natural thing. It's a natural thing. Whenever you're in a dark place and you see a light, you go to the light. We have sayings about it. We say, oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And you want to get to the light at the end of the tunnel. We're attracted to light. It's innate in us, not just as Christians, but as humans, to be attracted to the light. That's good, because we were made by the light. We were made in his image and in his likeness. So it's innate in us to want to get back. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that there's a God of this world. And we know who that is. That's Satan. And it says he's the evil God. 2 Corinthians 4:4 has blinded the minds of unbelievers. As a result, the light of the good news, the radiant glory of the anointed, who is the very image of God, cannot shine down on them. We like to read this. We have to remember that the Bible was written to the church. The Bible wasn't written to sinners. It was written to the church. All of the Corinthians, when Paul sent the letter, he was sending it to the Corinthian church, the church of Corinth. So when it says unbelievers, we have to do a check. Wait a minute. Do I fall in that category? You know, we always want to say it's outside. But wait a minute. The Bible was written to the church. So wait, you mean I can be in church and be an unbeliever? Yes, if you don't do what God says and you don't follow his principles and you don't shine as he has asked you to shine. Yes, you can be an unbeliever, and you have to know that it's the God of this world that has blinded us. Take the shades off. Hallelujah. Today we have to take the shades off. Stop covering our eyes. Recognize the enemy. When you recognize him, you can defeat him. Until you recognize him, you can't defeat him. Take the blinders off today, because there's a world that's perishing. There's a world that needs to see Christ. There's a world who needs to see the light. And if we shine like we're supposed to, they'll be attracted to the church again. They'll be attracted to the things of God again, because humans are automatically attracted to the light. But we have to be the light. Jesus said it so long ago, you are the light. So, okay, we can't be content in the fact that I am the light. Now I have to shine. I have to be the light in the darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know it's tight sometimes, but it's right. We have to stop joining the bandwagon. When people say it's the dark time in America, we can't just jump on and say, yes, it is. I don't know what's going to happen. We have to say, guess what? It's dark, but Jesus is still alive. Jesus still reigns. Hallelujah. The work of God is still happening. God is still moving. God is still shaking in the earth. Glory to God. I feel like we sometimes just sit back. We do. It ain't just sometimes. We sit back and we allow the enemy to speak in our ear and speak in our ear and speak in our ear and speak until we start believing it. That's why we have the blinders on. We have to take those off. Hallelujah. I hear that in my spirit today. Take the blinders off. Get up. We can still do a mighty work for God. The church is not dead. We are still alive, and we're still well, and we're still well able. Hallelujah. God is still ready to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even imagine through the power that worketh where? Within us. That's that power, hallelujah, that shines. It's that power, that beaming and glorious light that shines, hallelujah. He wants to work through us. Glory, 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 glory. One last point. Hallelujah. You know, we like to shine for God, and it's like, oh, God, I'm in your presence, and I'm shining. And God says in Psalms 139 and 12, he said, Look, the darkness is the same to me. I can see through the dark, in other words. I don't need you to shine for me. I need you to shine for the world that's in darkness. I don't need you to and just be glorious to me, but I need you to be glorious in the setting that I set you in, as Pastor Donetta said, not just in the church house, but in the workplace, in the park, wherever you are, when you're vacationing. I still need you shining. We can't turn off. We clap on, clap off. We clap ourselves on sometimes. Oh, I'm going over here. I'm going to clap off right now. I don't need to be seen over here. We have to keep ourselves on. It's time to clap on. Hallelujah. Isaiah, and I'll close with this. Isaiah 60:1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Arise means to get up, to stand up, to get to your feet. It's time to work. It's time to get moving. It's time to get outside of the church house. And let me say this. We have to come into the church to be refueled. It is another blinder that the enemy has put on us. And we have to be careful with the trickiness and the subtleness of the enemy, because he does things now. And I will say, it is great that we have the internet. It's great that we have TV and people can watch from TV. People can listen from the internet. But that can't take the place of you coming in to physically come into the house of God. And that's a trick that the enemy is using with the people of God. And I'm just going to watch from at home today. Well, no, the Bible says, as you see these evil days approaching, fail not to assemble yourself in the house of God with the people of God, because you get strength. When a light shines singly, it shines and it's a little light. But when we come together and we join together, we become a collective light, and it becomes a huge light that shines brighter when we're together. So we can't sit at home. And, you know, people are like, well, I'm sick. Well, the Bible told us to come to the church and let the elders lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. I don't know. I'm not saying God can't do it, but I believe I would rather have an elder physically lay their hands on me than try to get it through the TV. We have to come into the house of God to be refueled. You know, if you add a little oil to a light, it gets bigger. That's what happens when you come into the house of God. A little oil, your pastor's preaching, and a little oil is getting on your light. And so your light gets bigger, and it gets bigger, and it gets stronger. And so when you go out, because you should be going out and burning off some of that oil during the week, so when you need to come back in and get another dose of fuel, so your light will get brighter for the next time you go out. It's time for us to arise and shine, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when we shine, we can't shine dimly. We have to shine brightly. Hallelujah. Come on and stand on your feet. It's time to turn the lights on. Can you bring me my water? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. God is good. He's great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Pastor Jamie, as I was praying, God spoke a word to me this morning, and I want to just share it before I take my seat. And I don't know, you know, I've never been to this beautiful sanctuary, but it is a beautiful sanctuary. Never been here before, so I don't know exactly what's going on, but God told me to speak Isaiah 43:19 into this house, into your spirit, and into the spirits of your people. And I know, you know, it's a familiar scripture, but it says, I will do a new thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is his will. It is his plan, and it is his purpose to do a new thing here. Hallelujah. And not next year, not 10 years from now, but he says now it shall spring forth. Hallelujah. God says it's coming now. You have to open up and receive it, but there's a new thing that he has for you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I pray that you're aware of it. That's what the next part says. Will you not know it? Will you not perceive it? But let me say this. For those of you who perceive it, you'll get behind your pastor and you'll push and you'll press and you'll do what he asks you to do. Hallelujah. For those of you who don't perceive it, it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. God said that he wills it to happen. Hallelujah. He'll do it. He's going to do it in this house. And it's a now thing. It's a present thing. It's a right now. It's not for later. It is for now. Hallelujah. He said he'll make a way in the wilderness. Hallelujah. And God said, look up way. So let me tell you what way means. It means a road, a track, a designated path. Hallelujah. So I don't know if you've been praying and seeking God. How are we going to do this? How is this going to get done? God says he's making a designated path for you. Hallelujah. In this place. Glory to God. The wilderness is an uninhibited, uncultivated, inhospitable region. In that place, yes, where you never thought anything could happen because the trees are too high, the barriers seem too high. God, I hear you. Hallelujah. The barriers seem too high and it seems too thick, but God says, don't worry about it. I'm cutting out a path. I'm making a way. Hallelujah. And it's specific. It's designated. You're not going to have to worry and wonder, God, do we go here? Is this the way? Is this the pathway? No, it's a specified, a specific pathway. Hallelujah. He said he's also making rivers. Hallelujah. Running water. And you know, water represents life in the Bible. So there's going to be flow of life. I speak it into this house. A flow of life is coming into this house. And you know, a river is not just trickles. Rivers is not just a few little trickles. It's not even a little trickle. It's a powerful flow of life. Hallelujah. In a place that seems deserted, a desert place, a place that's been dry, barren, desolate, God says rivers, hallelujah, of living water. Thank you, Jesus. He said, and it's for now. Hallelujah. Give God some praise. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Give God some praise for what he's doing. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And we agree with the word. Hallelujah. And so we say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If anybody is in need of prayer on this morning, as Pastor Donetta said, we serve a God who can. Hallelujah. And not only is he a God who can, he will. And the Bible also tells us that our God is no respecter of persons. So, you know, the pastor is not more special than the lay person. You know, God loves us all the same. So what he'll do in my life, he'll do in your life. Hallelujah. So if there's any that needs prayer, I'm here. And I'm going to ask my husband also to come and pray.